We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're in the midst of a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of July the 26th, 1925. And it's about the issue that arose in the early church about whether the Gentiles should be circumcised or not. And we're going to study this and learn all we can about it so we would know how to answer questions that depend upon the enforcement of the old law today. And so we'll see that. We're looking at Acts chapter 15, and I think what I'll do is read up to, we're going to start in Acts chapter 15 in verse 6. That's where we left off in our last class, and we'll read the text and then return to Elam's notes on that text. Now, before I get there, I'll remind you the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's go back and read Acts chapter 15, and I will read verses 6 through 11. And the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider of this matter. And when there had been much questioning, Peter rose up and said unto them, Brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knoweth the heart, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why make you trial of God, that you should put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that they shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, in like manner as they, that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, in like manner as they. The apostles and elders of the church, having come together to consider this matter, and had made much questioning, perhaps by the Pharisees, Peter made a speech. He made three points. One, that God had made no distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles, which he had shown in the case of Cornelius. Two, that God should not now be tempted in rejecting his decision and putting the law as a yoke of bondage upon the neck of the Gentiles, which neither they nor the Jews could bear. And three, that the Jews and Gentiles must be saved by grace, and therefore not by the deeds of the law. Peter made an impressive turn on the Jewish Christians. It appears to us when he said, But we believe that we, that is Jews, who claim so much for themselves, shall be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus in like manner as they, that is, the Gentiles, since neither the Jews present nor their fathers were able to bear the yoke of the law and could not and did not keep it, they could be saved only by the grace of God as are the Gentiles. Well, next, Barnabas, and then Paul spoke, declaring that God had shown his acceptance of the Gentiles by performing signs and wonders among them. These signs and wonders were performed through Paul and Barnabas. And then James arose and spoke. James completed the argument in favor of the Gentiles by showing that the words of the prophets agree to this, quoting Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Showing how this was fulfilled in the reception of the Gentiles. He then proposed the decision of this lesson, which all accept as the will of God. one remarkable statement in James' speech should be impressed upon all, namely, he quoted Amos 9:11 through 12, which states that God will build again the temple or tabernacle or house of David, repairing the ruins thereof, and will set it up and open it to the Gentiles as well as the Jews, and then declares that this prophecy has been fulfilled. Then the kingdom of David has already been set up, and is not yet to be set up at the second coming of Christ. Also, since the prophecy concerning this kingdom and throne of David has been thus fulfilled, as God declares through James, no other prophecy concerning David's kingdom and throne can be fulfilled contrary to this fulfillment. For all such prophecies mean the same and are fulfilled in the same way. All theories as to when and how God will fulfill prophecies concerning David's kingdom and throne that are out of harmony with this, well, they're wrong. The remainder of this decision regarding sacrifices to idols, eating of blood, etc., in the following part of this chapter, it's an inspired example of settling questions. The decision being so very important, and especially the inspired way in which it was reached, it becomes very necessary to pursue this lesson to its happy conclusion. In view of so much contention, strife, bitterness, and division in numerous places, the course of the church at Jerusalem, in settling in unity and peace, and in perfect accord, a more serious question involved so much for all time, should be thoroughly studied and devoutly followed. Who can doubt that the God of peace and love has placed this example on record in order to show that all congregations for all time how to investigate in the Spirit of Christ all questions until all become of one mind and judgment, one heart and soul, and therefore of one accord and spirit. In this way alone can all be one, as Christ and God are one, and all speak the same thing. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. All contentions and divisions among the people of God spring from sin in some form. Those who are right in their contentions are contending against sin. It's the sin that causes the contention. Now that ended that Sunday school lesson. I turn to the next lesson, and it's for the Sunday schools of August the 2nd, 1925. And this one's about the Epistle of James. And the text that is selected from the Epistle of James is James 1, 19 through 27. Let me read that to you. Ye know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continueth, being not a hearer but that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. If any man think himself to be religious while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before our God and Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is James chapter 1 and verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. There is a note here about when James was written, and the note simply says we cannot be confident exactly when the book of James was written, but it appears to have been written early. It could very well be the first book of the New Testament that was written. It's going to be interesting as you study through the book of James. You'll find that it talks about those coming into their assemblies, and that word assembly means those coming into their synagogues. Because early on, the Christians would meet in the synagogues on the first day of the week. And so that indicates that the church was made mostly of Jews at this time, and that they were still sharing the synagogue with those Jews who were not Christians, but only on different days. Now, we have some helps and hints for the teacher, and we'll begin with them. Before we do, let me read the devotional reading. Psalm 19. Here it is. For the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run his course. His goings forth are from the end of the heavens, and his circuit into the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Psalm 19:7. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Jehovah is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the droppings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Psalm 19:12. Who can discern his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be clear from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Jehovah, my rock and my redeemer. Now let's look at the helps and hints for the teacher. James is the name of two apostles. There's James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, and James, the son of Alphaeus. The brothers, James and John, were called by the Lord Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. With Peter, they were the closest apostles to Jesus and stood with him in most important crisis of his life. In the death chamber of Jairus' daughter, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and in Gethsemane. James, John's brother, was the first one of the apostles to suffer martyrdom in Acts chapter 12. There's another James besides these two. He's called James, the Lord's brother. He's referred to several times in the New Testament. So we have James, John's brother, James, the son of Alphaeus, and James, the Lord's brother. Some try to show that the last two are the same person. It's not likely. This epistle was written by James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was addressed to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, James 1:1, the dispersion being the Jews that were scattered abroad among other nations, and James addressed the Christians among them.